Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure. Susan Annunzio, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. Susan Lucia Annunzio is our guest. She's the chairman and CEO of the Hudson Highland Center for High Performance. She is the author of Contagious Success. She's an organizational performance expert, and I'm glad to say she's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Jim, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Susan, I've started calling, there's a couple of things that are with us always, especially in small business. Mm-hmm. And those two things are challenges and opportunities.
Yes.
And I've started calling them the odd couple. Because you know the thing, what we know about the odd couple, you know, if you think back on the great, you know, play and the Neil Simon play and the movie and everything, it's become a national icon basically of theater. And one thing we know about those two is you always get one with the other. You never have just one by itself. You always get both. And so, in my opinion, that's the reason why I call challenges and opportunities the odd couple, because every day of your life as in a small business, you're going to have some of both. And some days you're going to have more of one than the other. And it depends on what day is going on. And your ability to succeed in as a small business is going to depend upon your ability to minimize the challenges and maximize the opportunities. Now, one of the things that I know you talk about a lot that falls into line with what I'm talking about here is the way our people communicate what they've identified as challenges, how they've identified issues that we have in our businesses, challenges, and how they communicate that to us and when. And that's a very important part of our management style, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you want to create an environment that's, you know, it's a trite saying, an open environment. And most people will say, well, gee, we have an open environment. I run a good company. My employees are close to me.
How about this, Susan? I have an open door policy.
Exactly. Perfect. I have an open door policy. And you believe that. You wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you say, well, I'm a good guy and people aren't afraid of me. The problem is, what you don't understand is you wear a label and it's called boss. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes can't separate who you are when you look in the mirror and who you see from that label boss. And a lot of people don't want to displease their boss. And they believe that if they come to you and tell you some problem or some challenge, you're going to get angry.
Especially if it was something they did.
Especially if it was something they did. So what they try to do, not to be a bad employee, but actually to be a good employee, is to shield you from the bad news, mm-hmm. to try to protect you from knowing what's going on, and try to fix it themselves.
Right.
But more often than not, what happens is by doing that, the problem gets worse instead of better. And by the time you hear it, you actually do get angry. And it fulfills the person's need to say, see, I couldn't tell you. And that's unfortunate because the longer a challenge or a problem festers, the harder it's going to be to solve. Now, what we found in our research is that companies that drive performance see mistakes as opportunities to learn. And most of them have what they call an environment that where people can learn. And by learning, that means people understand that when I do something or when I'm involved in a team, things are going to go wrong. That from the beginning, when goals are set, they predict what are the kinds of things that could go wrong. What are instances where we need to come back and discuss this? And instead of there being a kill the messenger, there's a kill the problem attitude. So, for example, I talked to a man, his name is Tom Mendoza. He runs a company called Network Applications in Silicon Valley. And it started out a small business. It's a very big business today, but it started out with five people. And he said to me, at our company, we have a policy. If somebody makes a mistake, we don't care who made it. We don't even want to know. What we want to know is why it happened, what can we learn from it, and how can we turn it into an opportunity for growth? And that's a prevalent philosophy that's in the company and is executed on daily.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is such an important thing. One of the things that I've tried to talk to my audience about
as much as I can
is the idea of redemption, Susan. If your employees know that when they make a mistake, if they mess up, that you're going to redeem them. You're not just going to fire them. You're not going to fuss at them. If they've made bad decisions, if they've made a mistake, if they've somehow made a mistake that wasn't their fault, they tried their best and they just somehow made a mistake, then if they know that you're going to redeem them and you're going to, instead of saying you're fired, you're going to say, what did we learn? That's a really important thing for them to know in advance, isn't it?
Tom has an employee orientation program where he tells people this. Another company that's in contagious success had created an award, and they called their award the Most Intelligent Failure Award. And the idea behind that award, I think it's pretty obvious by the title, but they're in an industry where it's important to have innovation and important to take risks. But the whole definition of a risk is there's a 50-50 chance you won't make it. So by rewarding failure, what they do is tell a story of the thought process that went into the failure so that people understand the learning is how do you think through the pros and cons of taking a risk. And sometimes you can think through those pros and cons very, very well. And there is a 50-50 chance you will win, but also that you will lose. So you need to take some of those risks.
Hold on to that thought. Well, I want to talk about helping employees take risks, learn what they can do, to know how far they can go, and what to do if they make a mistake. What their responsibility is if they make a mistake. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Susan D'Annunzio is our guest. Stay with us.
Gonna climb a mountain.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Susan Annunzio, Susan Lucia Annunzio, the author of Contagious Success. Susan, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
It's at www.centerforhighperformance.com, and my book is available at amazon.com.
All right, so check that out, folks, and it's an outstanding book. My websites, by the way, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Susan, we're talking about how to help your employees give you bad news if they need to give you bad news. And one thing I tell my people is I can deal with information, good information or not so happy information.
Right.
But I can't deal with no information.
Exactly.
You got to have the information because, and the thing I keep reminding them about is guys, look, you know, I'm the boss. There's a reason I'm the boss. It's probably because I've been around longer than you have. It's probably because I've seen a lot more than you have. If you got a problem, let me be your partner in solving it.
Right.
Now, I don't blame them, Susan. If they try to fix it themselves, that's good. I don't blame, but at some point in time, as Inspector Callahan said, you know, in the Clint Eastwood movies, a man's got to know his limitations.
Right, exactly.
So know what your limitations are. When you get to the point where you think this might be over my pay grade, let me in on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, sometimes what happens in companies is what I call the meeting after the meeting. and everybody listening, I'm sure, has attended the meeting after the meeting. That's the meeting where the real issues are talked about, because people are afraid to talk about them in front of the boss, or they believe the boss won't listen. And I believe the way to get rid of the meeting after the meeting is for the boss to know what's being said in that meeting. If you want your actions and words to match, I mean, most people are going to say, I have an open-door policy, I want you to bring my problems, but people are afraid to believe that, to trust it. So what I suggest people do is that they get some confidants to tell them what is being talked about in the meeting after the meeting. Always assume that the meeting after the meeting is happening. Don't think just because you've said to people they can talk to you that they are talking to you.
Right.
They are talking to their colleagues, though. And you need to find one of those colleagues, and you need to start a meeting by talking about one of the things they think you're clueless about. So, for example, you need to start by saying, one of the things that I understand is going on in our department is that we're really having trouble meeting our budget this year. And I can understand that that's a problem. And I'd really like us to talk about this. And people are going to be really surprised that, one, you know what they're talking about, and two, that in a calm, reasonable fashion, you're bringing up something that people thought you were going to be really upset about.
Right.
And that is showing people that it's okay to talk about problems instead of telling people that it's okay to talk about problems.
Susan, because, what a go ahead,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, that's
no, go
right.
ahead. What if we said to our people, okay, if you start thinking that you're in trouble with the project and you're concerned about it, or you see something, you think maybe that needs to be fixed and you're trying to work on it, it's okay to come to me and say, hey, boss, I'm working on this thing, you know, that you asked me to do. And to be honest with you, it's not going so well, but I'm still working on it. But I wanted you to know that I might call you in a day or so and see if you can give me a hand with it. And see, that way, it lets the boss know that the team is dealing with an issue. And you know, it won't be a big surprise if they show up with their problem on your doorstep.
Exactly.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a wonderful suggestion, and I think it's particularly wonderful because what you're setting up is regular check-in points.
Mm-hmm.
So that person knows that part of doing this project is to regularly check in with me, because you're fully aware of the fact that things go wrong. True innovation or true success doesn't happen in a straight line. Anybody that's listening to this program who can right now just think of some challenge that they overcame, it didn't happen by here's the problem, here's the solution. Most of the time, real challenge is handled by trial and error. You try to fix it one way, you learn from that, you go to another way. And so if you set up an environment where the expectation is that success doesn't happen in a straight line, because it doesn't, it makes it much easier for people to be successful. Because when failure happens or a mistake happens or the crooked line begins to appear, people tend to think there's something wrong with me and I'm not smart enough, instead of success happens in a crooked line.
Right. Yeah.
And if you've lived long enough, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. and you've had enough success in crooked lines, then you begin to accept that success happens in a crooked line. But often when people haven't had enough experience, they don't have the self-confidence to live
right.
through the crooked line.
Right. And they think you're going to be as upset about it as they are, when you're so grizzled and wise that you see it as a normal course of things. But I'm going to come back to this last thing, these four magic words. I think the four most powerful words, Susan, in management, and that is to be able to say to your people after they made a mistake, trying their best, mm-hmm. what did we learn?
Right, exactly.
Susan, give us that website again, please.
www.centerforhighperformance.com.
Hey, Susan, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Always good talking to you.
We'll talk to you next time. Susan Annunzio, ladies and gentlemen, that's Contagious Success is the name of her book. Quick break. Right back after these messages with Bob Kuska.
Just to call my special friend.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.